Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Your host, James, behind the mic. I'm joined by Head of News and co-host Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here with us, everybody. We hope you're having a good one. We're going to kick things off with our good friend, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Britt.
Good morning. How was your weekend?
The weekend was solid. How was yours?
It was pretty good. I mean, it was cool and crisp. Felt like fall. Did a little mountain biking or something, but, you know, had to get outside in between the rain events.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, so mountain biking sounds so good. Oh, that's good. Right on. Good on you.
I actually got out and went for a walk.
Yes. A walk is so relaxing. You know, anything to get outside, even if it's raining. I don't care. I got to get out there and dance in it or something.
Second
idea. It's never going to stop this week, too. It's just a very, very active week. We've got a warm front moving in today, cold front tomorrow, a whole entire low-pressure system headed our way Wednesday, and then a massive warm-up for the weekend, which is also going to spark showers and storms. So we've got a definitely wild, wet week. So today, already, just off to the west of us, we've got some scattered showers. They're going to be moving in over the next hour or so. So a little bit wet late morning. We'll dry out this afternoon, but chances for showers and storms do spark back up again, probably early this evening, maybe like 6 or 7 or so. And then another line wants to move through late tonight. Now, that line was supposed to be strong to severe, but it does look like with the newest data that just came in, that the strong, severe, bad storms, large hail, high winds want to stay way further northwest, and it really, really weakens and barely touches us now. So that's good news. I hope that is the truth and actually happens versus the strong line staying together. If it stays together, it would move in late tonight after dark, and winds could hit 60, 70 miles per hour, and we could see some hail and heavy downpours. But hopefully that'll all fall apart, and maybe we'll just hear a rumble of thunder or two. And tomorrow, the rain looks to stay south. So some more sunshine and still hitting 80s today and tomorrow.
Not bad, not bad.
Not too bad. You might want to get in the rain just to cool off.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
There's nothing like a summer rain. There's nothing like it. So the sound, the feel, the smell, all of it. And whatever happens, we'll be ready for it. Thanks to you, Brittany. We appreciate you. Have a good morning.
You too. Thanks.
Thanks, best, Brittany.
Best in the business right there, Brittany Merlot, joining us every morning, all week long. We got a fun week ahead for you, everybody. Get used to Melissa. She's going to have to work a lot this week.
Hello. It's my week.
We're going to have some fun with it, too. We got a bunch of great guests joining us. Of course, our unusual suspects that will be with us, and plenty more. Of course, we have the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner. Looking forward to diving into that. Afterwards, Heinz is trying to normalize ketchup on eggs, we will discuss. I made a mistake there. I should have gotten a report from my mother on that one. My mom, that is her thing. She has said she's been doing that as long as I've been alive, as long as I can remember.
Your mom.
Yeah, we'll get into that. How much, we have another one here too. A news chopper reporting launched into a rant about his failed marriage. I don't know. It's a That Ain't Right story, Melissa. We got to touch on a little bit later. We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour with some entertainment news. We're talking Dolly. We're talking Bonnaroo and Rob Lowe. We also got some local theater to get into as well. And of course, this week, it's Cranberry Blossom Fest. We're going to get you ready for it, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
All that coming up a little bit later. Melissa and I are going to get into discussing the Guinness World Record for the world's oldest restaurant, or is it? Dun, dun, dun. Got that coming up.
Controversy in the world of old restaurants.
You know, it's one of those stories that enough people are talking about, Melissa. We will discuss it.
Reporting from the sticky floor in the back room.
We will get into that. And what is the percentage of people that don't like their first name? We'll get into that a little bit later as well. But I got a fun start to kick off the week here. And we are, we should make this very clear to the audience, because we try to be very clear and honest what we are here at not just WFHR and WIRI, but Civic Media. We are supporters of democracy. We take that crazy, gigantic stance of supporting democracy. It's hopefully, I'm being sarcastic. Hopefully everybody believes in that out there. And this is pretty universal. We love to cover Dolly Parton. We cover quite a bit of her Guinness World Records. You know, that ain't right stories. And certainly nobody is covering Central Wisconsin information like we are. And coffee. We love coffee around here.
Yes. Yes.
Big on coffee. And the company that owns Keurig, Dr. Pepper, am I saying that right? I always feel like I say it wrong. Keurig or Keurig?
Keurig, I think, is how I've heard it, but I don't know that it
Craig.
Matters. However you say it is right.
There we go.
How about that?
I like that. I'm good with that. That's really good for me, the way I talk. Basically, the people that own them, Dr. Pepper, and a bunch of other brands, just released its first ever State of the Beverages report.
Whoa.
Did I say that dramatic enough?
State, sounds serious.
State of the Beverages report. And it found the most important drink of them all is, yes, coffee.
Coffee.
It's the top beverage Americans say that they cannot live without. Quote, cannot live without. I would argue water, but okay. 62% agree with the statement.
There's water in coffee, James. Is, come on.
Tell me. I live on that. 62% agree with the statement. Quote, my day doesn't start until I've had a cup of coffee. 69% agree with that. Drinking coffee every morning is my happy place. That doesn't mean coffee is our favorite drink, though. It's just one we need in order
it's
to function.
Necessary.
Yeah. America's favorite beverage is soda. 53% enjoy the taste more than any other beverage. 53% of the vote, so that is, that's going to win you an election now. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Going to KeurigPepper.com, which is where you can find all the data from this article and the survey that they did. Part of what I thought was interesting about this is kind of with this shift in generation, and this happens every generation. Our generation went through it, and the ones after us certainly have. One that has been on the rise is fizz drinks. A lot more restaurants are having those, and they've never seen such an influx of that. That has been not just the new fad, but it's been here for a while now.
You're talking about like seltzers?
Yeah, things like that. And they're seeing it as it's a daily or all day kind of thing. It's not as if they're just seeing a spike at noon or at 5 o'clock. It's pretty much all day those drinks are popular.
The alcohol ones are like just water, like
just
seltzer
beverages.
Water.
Just yeah, seltzer waters and stuff.
Or
yeah.
Like bubbly water with a little bit of flavor.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I apologize. I should have been clearer on that. I forget that this is how bad I am with alcohol. I forget that those are big on alcoholic drinks as well. I didn't even think about that.
Well, they have definitely become a big Every brand has jumped on the bandwagon.
Everybody's got
seltzers.
I'm pretty sure we have one. I don't even. Everybody has one now. So that was something interesting. We are seeing young people spending more money on beverages than they are on other things. So they're taking this to heart, like starting off their day and or just staying hydrated. A lot of this.
Well, if coffee is a necessary thing and you buy it pre-made somewhere, you're spending a lot of money on beverages.
Yeah.
Well, because coffee is expensive if you go to a coffee place and get it. It's good. It's sometimes better than you can make at home.
Yeah.
But it's expensive.
And I don't mean this. It's so easy to take shots at corporations. I don't really mean this at any corporation or anything like that. But it's part of the reason why I go to your mom and pop places, the places that advertise with us and stuff. Not just because they advertise with us. It is a happy coincidence, to be honest with you, because I've been going to like From the Ground Up and places like that since I was a kid. But I like going to local places. Last time I went to a conglomerate, they asked me for my mortgage, and I'm like, I don't even own a house. I don't think this is legal. I don't think we can do this.
Sign over your firstborn child.
I don't.
Too late. They're their own person now.
Look, Bree, I'm sorry about that, but I am so thirsty. What is your go-to drink in the morning? Now, one other quick thing. We can go ahead and get into that, too. And you guys call up, join the conversation, 715-424-2600. Touch or two-way on the Civic Media app. I wonder if so much of this, Melissa, is not just the coffee. I mean, not to take anything away from coffee. Please don't let coffee think I'm disrespecting it. But a routine. You know, could it be any different that if you started your morning with green tea or water and, you know, lemon water or something?
Or Dr. Pepper or, Diet Coke. I think there's the routine. There's also that caffeine kick, which so many of us rely on.
Oh yeah,
heavily.
Baby. sorry.
And then also just hydrating our body. Even though some of those, like coffee, is a diuretic, but I mean, you do get some hydration from any liquid there or foods that you consume. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, hydrating our body in the morning is an important thing. So if you can start with a glass of water, much, you know, good for you.
Yeah, that's probably but the also, key to take yeah, away I from think,
this. Yeah, we all need something to drink in the morning.
Yeah, and I think that the morning routine is also a lot more helpful than we realize. When we're just waking up, when we're just getting our day started, to have things that we don't necessarily have to think about, we just do. And mm-hmm. and we can literally wake up, we can literally get moving here and everything. We all, if you don't think this is that important, think of the last time you woke up late. Or you woke up in a rush and you weren't able to do those routine things.
And your whole day was
whole darn off. Day. Whole darn day. There you go. 24 hours spent. Just gone. Yep. Just you can win the lottery that day and you're still going to be grumbling about.
But I didn't get my coffee this morning.
It's how important routine can be for the brain. And mm-hmm. I think that that's something that also is encouraging if you maybe don't like the way your day starts or would like to change it up a little bit. Every brain can be rewired. Every mm-hmm. brain can kind of be brought in a different direction. So I think that's encouraging too about it.
Yeah. And maybe if, you know, you have a habitual bad days, maybe you need to reexamine your morning routine.
Looking at this list, I saw not only green tea, as far as drinks that are popular in the morning and with people, and we want to hear from you what your go-to drink is out there. Seeing green tea and black coffee, like specifically black coffee, mm-hmm. chai tea, water, lemon water. Warm lemon water. Mm-hmm. Water, lemon water seems a little redundant. Seems a little.
My mom used to drink something in the morning called Stars Lemonade, is what she called it. I don't know if that has an official name or not, but basically it's water, warm water, with the juice of a whole lemon in there, a little bit of honey or maple syrup, and cayenne pepper.
Huh. I might try. I would maybe try that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a delicious morning beverage, but, you know, the warm water, your body doesn't have to warm it up in your stomach.
Oh. Right,
before it can absorb it.
Gotcha.
And then the lemon juice, you know, the citrus is, all of those things are good for you in moderation. And cayenne pepper is also really good for your heart.
I didn't know that. You better, as far
in
as...
small amounts.
Good to know. Very good to know. It's important to tell me these things.
Yes.
When it comes to the things kind of on the rise, as I mentioned, you know, coffee is here to stay. That's where it's been. And these, you know, beverages, the sparkling beverages or whatever, fizz beverages and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the one that is really coming for the crown is coconut water. That has been on a huge rise, in major part because of the electrolytes and mm-hmm. the benefit to kidney and liver detoxification, because that is a big thing people are looking for, is detoxification things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coconut water is really good for you, but you got to make sure that you're reading the label, because a lot of different, you know, find a brand that doesn't add a ton of sugar. or a bunch of other things. Make sure it's as pure coconut water as you can find.
See, smoothies on the list, those are go-to. Those have been popular for a long time. Then I saw apple cider vinegar drink, and I've drank that before when I've had to, not to wake up. I feel like it seems like a rough way to wake up.
Actually, it's not bad. It's there are people who have cured, supposedly, you know, like this is a hearsay, but like acid reflux. With apple cider vinegar, and it's another drink actually that when they would do hay making in the summertime, it's a drink that they would bring out there with them to keep their electrolytes up and to hydrate their bodies, and it's a very refreshing drink. If you get really, really good cold water and you mix in like a tablespoon or so of apple cider vinegar, it's a tasty drink.
I might have to try that. It's one of the things you can get me to usually try is drinks.
Yeah.
I'm not as picky about drinks.
It's, different than the vinegar, the straight vinegar that my grandma used to make us take by the teaspoonful if we said naughty words. She'd wash our mouths out with vinegar. Straight up, it's not. I do not recommend.
My mom, her mother and my mom used to threaten me all the time with the bar of soap thing. And I think I was 11 or 12. I was older. And I basically like called her bluff. And she wasn't bluffing. I've never gotten the taste of, what is it? The green soap.
Irish Spring.
I haven't been able to get it out of my mouth since. like the back of my molars, man, I can still taste it back there.
And see, my grandma thought at least vinegar, you know, it's edible versus soap. So that was her go-to. Not that I think, I don't know that I really, maybe one time. And that's all it took.
I pushed the boundaries way too much, and I'm pretty sure my mom just wanted to see if I'd do it. I think it was really just a matter of wow, he did it. Like, we wanted to send a shout out to our great friends over at the United Way of Southwood and Ames Counties. Have their great book giveaway, their 14th annual great book giveaway going on. Two more chances to take this in, everybody. They're going to be at the Southwood County YMCA here in Rapids at 10:30 today. Mm-hmm. Head on over there, bring the littles, and not only here have some adults read to them, which is always great to help that reading slide that can happen in the summer, and always fun no matter what time of year it is. Mm-hmm. But they get to pick out free books.
Yay! Everybody loves free books.
And everything will wrap up tomorrow at the Lester Public Library of Vesper at 12:30. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind that even if it's raining, no matter what the weather that Mother Nature might bring, they have a backup plan for these events. I encourage you to attend them and find out more at uwswac.com. Check that out. Great book giveaway going on, everybody. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Well, in theory,
Yeah, there's nothing playing.
Yeah. We've got our computer is froze, it seems like.
Okay.
The wide orbit.
We're going to do the commercials?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Rocket septic.
We do have a rocket septic commercial. We have a Crockett Septic commercial lined up, too.
We do. do we really?
Yeah, we really do. We do have one lined up, too.
Oh, this is the first one that came to mind.
That's perfect. That's fantastic.
Let's see. Who else do we got?
We have an El Cafe commercial lined up. Works out perfectly because we're going into the El Cafe birthday and anniversary. Let me see if our music will play out. We got to, you know, try to get that. All right. There we go.
Hey, we got music. Come on.
It's a celebration. Got to have that deep voice thrown back there.
Yes.
We'll get those commercials in for you a little bit later. No worries, Pam. We'll make sure to get those in during our break coming up here and figure out what is going on with Wide Orbit, hopefully. Mm-hmm. We'll have somebody working on that. But we, of course, want to get into the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club, one of our favorite parts of the day. We encourage you to treat yourself tomorrow when they open their doors at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards, everybody. Mm-hmm. Appreciate our friends at El Cafe.
Yes, indeed. But you can get food downtown Port Edwards today. Newsflash,
ooh,
James.
Ooh.
Yeah. They are actually going to have some food trucks down on Market Avenue today, this afternoon, actually starting at 11. I just saw this post, and I'm touching base with some people in Port Edwards to verify everything. But, yeah, it looks like El Sombrador, who had tacos at our Rapids Transmission Live remote a couple weekends ago. They're going to be there. Yum House, Dairy's Food Works, and Bread by Jamie.
Oh,
so if you're in Port Edwards today and you want food this afternoon, even though El Cafe is not open, there is food available.
That's pretty great. That sounds really, really good. I love trying different places, and especially with the amount of food trucks we get
options
in town.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so nice. So much fun. And all of these trucks have some amazing chefs in them, working really hard and kicking out some really good food out there, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Check them out. And, of course, we want you to get us your birthdays and anniversaries. Get them to us, everybody. Email us up at info@wfhr.com. You can, of course, direct message us on our Facebook pages. And you can call that up.
Yes, you can just dial 715-424-2600, talk to us live on air, or you can just push a button or two on the Civic Media app, and it'll connect you right to us. No numbers required.
We look forward to hearing those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Get them to us. Melissa, I need a one or a two.
one.
All right, gives us that one. So first up, we get to wish a very happy birthday to Anita Ray.
Happy birthday, Anita.
Enjoy the day, Anita. It's a great name, Anita. It's a good name. And we wish a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Megan Anderson.
Happy birthday, Megan.
Enjoy the day, Megan. Hope it's a great one for you. Have a great one. And thanks so much.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and thanks to getting us these birthdays and anniversaries. We appreciate that.
And if you go to El Cafe later this week when they're open starting tomorrow, you will get pie. Just tell them your birthday was today.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's a great way to kick off Tuesday. That's a good one right there. Head on over there, everybody. Taking a look at who you share your birthdays with, Daniel Brühl is 47. Baron Zemo in the Captain America and Falcon in the Winter Soldier show. He's also Dr. Kreitzel in The Alienist. He's a good actor, good solid actor. Let's see here. John Cho is 53. Mr. Sulu in the new Star Trek movies. Harold in Harold and Kumar. There's been a handful of those. Phil Mickelson is 55, a professional golfer, one of the greats. One of the guys that really hung with Tiger for a while there and kind of gave him a run. I would say, well, yeah, I gave him a run. Yeah, Phil's had a good career.
Yeah, I've actually at least heard of him.
Yeah, that's a great note, Melissa, because that just speaks to his popularity and his longevity. He's been around a long time doing this.
It looks like he was just cut from the tournament.
Yeah.
The U.S. Open.
Yeah, Father Time is undefeated. Phil's getting up there. It's starting to show. But, I mean, at the same time, every time it feels like you count a boxer. I want to say a boxer. Every time you count a golfer out, they seem to show back up in tournaments and everything.
Well, we do still have an American in first place, J.J. Spahn.
He had a really amazing weekend. Just a crazy course, and he was the only one that really seemed like he could survive it. Laurie Metcalf is 70. Jackie on Roseanne, Sheldon's mom on The Big Bang Theory. She was in Scream 2, a bunch of different roles throughout the years. I loved her on Roseanne. I thought she was just the perfect sister on that show. She was a fantastic one. Reminds me a lot of my sister, actually. That's probably part of the reason. And I never really got into the Big Bang Theory or anything, but I know that I heard from a lot of people that have. She was really good on that show, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was. And I enjoyed The Big Bang Theory. That's one I actually watched.
Speaking of, I liked the show. I didn't get a chance to really watch it consistently, but not a bad show at all. Roberto Duran is 74. Roberto Duran, at the time, when I was a kid, him and Sugar Ray Leonard had this great, welterweight title fight, and they were known, it was all a build-up, especially Duran was just a fighter that you could count on and all these things. And famously in that fight, said no mas, which meant that he wanted to walk away, just quit the fight in the middle of the fight. Duran simply walked away, quit in the middle of the eighth round, and it's one of the most, to this day, it's still one of the most legendary things in sports. And I don't know what the equivalent even is of it, of a guy just in the middle of a game and a fight, just stopping. Especially when it comes to boxing, where it's such a I don't think that anybody really understands what it takes mentally to be a boxer, what it takes to know that you are walking in and you are going to get beat up. And that is your job. One of the toughest things about boxing is you're going to get hit. So you got to make sure that you are taking the hits that you can handle, but giving the ones they can't.
Yeah. And his nickname was Hands of Stone.
Oh man, Duran was a fighter. It isn't just shocking the moment in time and in sports and everything what happened. It's shocking because of the guy that did it. It's just and say what you will about this statement and everything, but I'm not. This isn't me. This is more other people and especially Latin boxing commentators talking about it for a Latino to do it. It was just unheard of in any day and age.
Not a big guy. He was 5'7" is 5'7". And 162 pounds.
Heart of steel, and would have never seen it coming. Never would have guessed something like that. Joan Van Ark is 82, Val Ewing on Dallas and Knott's Landing. Eddie Levert is 83, lead singer of the OJs for the Love and the Money, Love Train. So many songs over the years. And then some people no longer with us. Like, to me, just my opinion, my book, the greatest rapper of all time, Tupac Shakur, was born on this day in 1971, passed away way too young in 1996. Where so many artists look at their lyrics as secondary, Tupac was a poet first. and a rapper second. And in proof of that, there's a wonderful poems that he wrote out there. This is a guy who, in a day and age where most people were talking about their Rolex or girls or whatever, he had songs that might touch on those things, but he also had songs about single mothers. Hmm. And about and about real true things. He had depth. This was a guy that would change his voice for different lyrical moments, hit ups and downs, actually had a voice that a range to him, was also an incredible actor and was only getting better and better and better as an actor. Incredibly complicated person, not perfect by any means, but as far as somebody who literally has been around since the dawn of hip hop, since the beginning of it, since the first songs were played on the radio, to the first boombox that had it. That's the greatest rapper of all time, period. I don't even know who's in second place. And gone too early. Gone too early.
Only 25.
The Ultimate Warrior was born on this day in 1959, WWE Hall of Famer, and certainly one of many wrestlers that many kids like me grew up watching. Jack Albertson was born in this day, 1907. Wonderful character actor over the years, probably most famously known as Grandpa Joe and Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, yes.
And the most awkward bedroom scene ever. what that setup that was going on in that movie, I don't know. I mean, I know that I mean I grew up poor, but I don't know. There was some weird setup for that. He was also the man in Chico and the Man, and the Poseidon Adventure. He had a lot of great roles over the years, actually.
Oh yeah.
And Stan Laurel, born in this day in 1890, the skinny of Laurel and Hardy, one of the great tag teams of all time. The incredible. Art there. Artists. Mm-hmm. That is going to do it for our birthday and anniversary club for today, but we wish everyone out there a very happy birthday and anniversary, especially to our qualifiers, and wish a good day off to our friends at El Cafe. They'll be back open tomorrow, everybody.
Yes, indeed.
We'll be back after our news and sports and partner break, hopefully, Melissa. Hopefully. Yeah, let me see how this works here. Yeah, nothing's working.
Uh-oh.
Nothing is going, of course.
You have to do a reboot.
I'm trying. I've been trying very hard to do a reboot here, and I've also reached out to our staff, our engineers, so we're trying to do a couple of things here to get this fixed. We will see how that goes.
Okay.
For now, let's go ahead and just count. We'll just keep going. That's all we can do.
Okay.
So, I did have a couple of stories that I wanted to get to, but before I do... Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Let's just dive right in. I wanted to ease us into this, Melissa. I didn't want us to have to jump right in. I'm sorry. I apologize, everybody, if I seem a little off. But this is just, it throws me off. And it has since I was a little kid. Do you put ketchup on your eggs?
I do, actually, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Now, how long?
And I love ketchup on eggs.
Mm.
The only way that I'll have it, though, there's only one way. If it's on an egg sandwich.
Huh.
I don't like ketchup on my eggs any other time. Like, don't get ketchup near my eggs and hash browns. Mm-mm. But
okay.
On a piece of toast, absolutely.
Okay. I've never even tried it. So
really?
I was just about to take some shots at my mom. and I realized, you know what? Actually, I've never even tried it. So I don't know what I'm talking about. I just beat me being me. And I think that because it's one of those few combinations that I've been experiencing so long, and it just seems so so much my mom's thing. So I don't know. I don't really have a good reason why I haven't. I really don't. I don't. Just being honest, I don't.
Well, and that's fair. But, I mean, think about all the things that, because ketchup obviously is tomato-based. But think about all the other good things that do go well with eggs that you may be like picante sauce.
Yeah. I don't do a lot of that.
Like a breakfast burrito.
Okay, that is pretty good.
Or like a salsa with eggs on a burrito.
Yeah, it's not bad. I do a lot of hot in the morning, but you're right though. That is good. I don't mind trying that.
Yeah,
so.
But who doesn't like breakfast any time of the day?
That's true. And you're not alone there. Heinz is trying to normalize ketchup on eggs with a new ad campaign that claims ketchup on eggs or even bacon is perfectly acceptable. They
ketchup on bacon? What?
Apparently. No. Yeah, I don't know about that. They may have gone a bridge too far there.
Yes.
They partnered with 100 Waffle House around the country. Or that's either 100 Waffle Houses or 100 Waffle House. I don't know if that's an actual company or not. I apologize.
100 Waffle House.
Be a good, I mean, you, I, you know.
100 waffles when you walk in? Like, what? Or that's all they serve in one day?
I can't imagine that being a very good business model. I cannot, I don't not. Feel like that. We're running out of waffles. They changed their name to 30 Waffles. They changed, just lower the bar a little bit. So they changed the labels on their bottles to say breakfast ketchup. It's the same product, just the label is different. So they're literally trying to like rebrand some of these things, huh?
Interesting.
Around 50 diners across the U.S. will also have limited edition bottles shaped like maple syrup bottles. Heinz claims one in four people use ketchup at breakfast. Quote, ketchup at breakfast should be norm, not the exception.
I do think, because a lot of people like ketchup on their hash browns, which, you know, you think about fries and ketchup. I mean, nothing goes better with ketchup than French fries. And hash browns isn't that far removed from it. But I have to limit my tomato intake. So if I'm going to have ketchup, the only two things I usually have it with are French fries and my egg sandwich in the morning when I have one.
That's right, yeah.
So, you know, when you can only use ketchup for a few things, you gotta choose carefully.
Right, yeah. No, it's good to hear from people like myself that don't really have those kind of, I don't really think about that stuff very often. So it's good perspective. I tend to use it a little, ketchup, I use all condiments sparingly. There's no condiment that wait a minute. Okay, maple syrup is a little different. Hold up. I caught myself. There was about to, on all over social media, there was about to be a ton of pictures of me just dousing things with maple syrup and catching me in a lie.
And after James finishes a plate of pancakes that have maple syrup on them, there's a lake of maple syrup left that he then proceeds to lick off the plate. I mean, it's, you know, not everybody can watch it, but for those of you who can, search it out.
That's a little too far, Melissa. I think that's a little. I have a little more. I use my fingers. I use my fingers. Oh, I lick it with my fingers.
That takes so much longer, James. No, just debase yourself and put your face in your plate.
It depends. Come on. It depends on if everybody's looking. Let's go ahead and take a call here, good quick. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm a. Be different here. I don't even have a ketchup bottle in my house. I don't even have ketchup.
Wow.
I would never put it on a hot dog. It doesn't belong on a hot dog. You ought to be arrested if you put it on a hot dog.
I'm with you on that. Yes.
And I would never put it on bacon. Why would you spoil the way taste of bacon?
That horrified me.
I agree with you on that one.
That horrified me. But
what do you dip your French fries in?
Nothing. I take them as hot as I can get them and eat them right there, just that way. I love them best.
I'm very similar. I'll have, now if I'm sitting down somewhere or something like that, sure, I might have a little ketchup there, but I barely use it. I like to taste the food that I'm eating, and I don't really need condiments much. I'm with you on this, sir. I appreciate
you. Do you dislike ketchup?
Some food tastes good on their own. Why wreck it?
Yeah.
That's true. But do you not like ketchup at all? You just don't like it?
I've had it before, yes. But like I said, I don't have a ketchup bottle in my house.
So it's not a necessary condiment.
With all the other trimmings on it, I might put a little ketchup on it. Yeah. You know?
Okay.
As long as it has everything else, like pickles and onions and mustard and stuff, like, then I might put a little ketchup on it. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
I hear you, sir. Yeah. Thank you for the time. Oh, I appreciate you. Best listeners in radio. Thanks for calling up, man. I appreciate you.
Even a ketchup bottle in the house.
I don't know if I've heard of that, honestly.
I didn't have any ketchup, like, living on my own here until I got a little bit better handle on my acid reflux, which just means they up my medication. So now I eat a little bit of ketchup now and then. So I did buy it. I do have it. But for a lot of years, I didn't. Not my choice, but...
Maple syrup does count as a condiment, right? Now I'm questioning myself. I'm questioning everything this morning right now.
I guess you could count it as a condiment. It's like a sauce, though. Are sauces condiments?
That's the thing. So, okay, there's that. And then, Melissa, I got into... So we had a class last night that started about 25 minutes late because my students got into this thing about what makes a soup. And it can a soup be cold?
Cereal a soup?
These debates sometimes.
Gazpacho soup is cold. That is definitely a soup.
I personally don't really care, but I do think that a soup can be cold. I don't think mm-hmm. that there's anything wrong with that. And then
can condiments be sweet?
I don't mind these conversations. It's when they go too far. Like when people start getting like bent out of shape. It's like, okay, all right, come on.
Lucky Charms is a soup.
Yeah.
I'm going to die on this hill.
Right, yeah. It's like, okay, come on, man. It's like, oh, do you own stock in the company or something? Like, cause the way some people get so passionate about these things. And obviously, I could be that way about certain stuff, too.
Oh,
so
sure. And for silly things, you know, like these... conversations, let's call them. Why
mm-hmm,
not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. it's friendly debate,
yeah.
And we need more of that.
That is such a great point.
If we can have it about silly topics like is cereal a soup, or is maple syrup a condiment?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, maybe we can progress to civil conversations about really difficult topics.
As long as we're talking about condiments and food, let's get into this one that I came across from the Associated Press, and a big shout out to them and the great reporting they always do, and Suzanne Nasihamad, who did the article about this. In the heart of Spain's capital, Sobrino de Batin holds a coveted Guinness World Record as the world's oldest restaurant.
Ooh.
Exactly 300 years after it opened its doors, Botin welcomes droves of daily visitors from the Castilian fair with a side of history.
Okay.
Tell me you wouldn't want to check this out.
Yeah.
Like, I'll have a cup of coffee there. Like, I don't care. you got to try the food, but I mean, just anything. It's just on the outskirts of Madrid. And tourists and all kinds of people come over there. It has endured many different things, not just the Spanish Civil War back in the 1930s and the Napoleonic invasion in the early 1800s, but even the War of the Spanish Succession as the start of the 18th century.
Whoa.
They have a quite a strong lineage as well. Now it's been around since 1702, they're saying, but there are some rivals to this.
Okay.
There is another tavern, the Casa, there's another tavern that is saying that it's been around it's only been around, that one's been around since 1750. They've been around since 1702. So both taverns are kind of fighting about these and trying to see which one has been around the oldest.
I mean, that's a long time to have a place that serves food continue to serve food.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of what is Wisconsin's oldest restaurant? That kind of thing.
It was probably a supper club.
You're so right.
I'm kidding.
That's
well, no, it would have to be something on the East Coast, more than likely.
Yeah.
It's still open.
Yeah. I'm trying to see, as far as this article goes, did it ever take time off? Did it ever, like, was it ever not open or something like that mm-hmm. along those lines? And I'm not sure anything. Like
I mean,
that.
You got to assume that they would close occasionally, hopefully to do a deep clean.
Yeah.
In 200 years, 300 years.
You would hope. One would hope.
Every now and then, it's good to clean out the corners, get in the cracks, the crevices.
Seems like it would be a smart idea. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they haven't been shut down, so obviously
they're
doing something right.
I don't know. There's something about that seems pretty cool. It looks like our friends at Up North News back in April did an article about Inside Wisconsin's Oldest Restaurant. Shout out to Christina Leroy for that.
Cool.
So that one, I can't read the articles behind a paywall. Dang it. Free subscriber wall. Free subscriber wall, I should say.
Yeah, but that's not something you can navigate while you're also trying to spin how many plates right now, James?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So Nashoka's Red Circle Inn. I'm sorry, I'm probably horribly mispronouncing that. I apologize.
What's it called again?
Nashotka's Red Circle Inn.
Red Circle Inn.
They first opened their doors back in 1848. Throughout its 177-year history, the inn has welcomed traders, trappers, settlers, tourists, and working class.
All right.
Wow. Got to get there.
The pictures are really cool.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, yeah. This looks really cool. I want to check this out.
Looks good, too. I'm hungry.
I'm so hungry this morning. I don't know why. I don't know what it is, but yeah. That looks like a really cool one. If any of our listeners have been there or anything, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. 715-424-26.
Especially how to say it, because I also don't know how to say it.
Yeah, James. Call up with that at the very least.
Nashotka?
Ooh, yeah. I just like that pronunciation better. I think that's I think we'll go with that. That's pretty good. That's a good one. It's also, I think, noteworthy as far as opening any type of business. Restaurants have one of the tougher ones to keep going.
Because the margins are not very big.
Mm-hmm.
Because food prices, especially now with food prices increasing, they can't charge excessive amounts for the food that they're serving because people aren't going to be willing to pay it.
Maybe the best tacos I got in Central California was at a place that was a kind of a side restaurant, but mostly a mechanic shop. and many of the people that worked on the vehicles also were cooks. And they did clean their hands and everything.
Obviously, yes. Mm-hmm.
But just as an example of like how many, like what it takes to keep a restaurant around sometimes. Those people did that. They wanted it to be a restaurant. It just kind of grew into the mechanic shop. And that's what kind of kept the restaurant afloat.
Yeah.
There are a billion different types of restaurants nowadays. And
all the different cultural foods that you can find, which are awesome.
Oh, and the industry, it ebbs and flows so much. What was it? I don't know if I'm getting my timeline right here or not, but 20 years ago when you saw the Ruby Tuesday, TGI Fridays, and, all those kind of places.
The rise of the chain restaurants.
And then that died up. Now that's gone.
Applebee's are closing down everywhere now.
Yeah. But we've also seen, especially since the pandemic, an uptick in your mom and pop restaurants and those sorts of things. So good luck to ever. And I genuinely mean that. I'm not saying this. I think my tone this morning isn't great. I also started the show way too dramatic. My good morning, like way too dramatic. I don't know what it was.
You set the tone, James.
I really did. Yeah, that's why White Orbit isn't working. That's why.
This is the problem.
It's my revolting fault. I'm putting my hand up. That's on me, everybody. It's on me.
But yes, it is hard to keep a restaurant business going in today's market.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of increasing costs, and it's hard to balance all of those costs out and not pass them on to the customers.
When we think about how hard it can be for so many of these places out there, it's a big part of the reason why you hear us since really the inception of this station, trying to support as many restaurants and many local businesses as we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, because those are the things that make our community vibrant and wonderful, is having options of places to eat and frequenting those local businesses and those local that have the tie to the community.
Yeah. Okay, so just for anybody who's just joining us, we're having a little bit of technical difficulties right now. So Melissa and I have been talking for 47 minutes straight now.
Brittany was here for a little bit. She told us about the weather.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. True. Mm-hmm. So with that, I think that maybe this topic might be a good one. How much time we spend a day worrying? According to a new survey, the average American spends 138 minutes worrying every day. That's long.
How many minutes?
138 minutes worrying every day.
138 minutes. That's over 2 hours, James.
2 hours, what, 18 minutes?
Something like that. Don't make me mad.
No, me neither, yeah. that's almost the exact length of the Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens. That's incredible. That's incredible. I don't know what's more weirder, that I know that or that.
Yeah.
There are a lot of motivational quotes about how worrying is a waste of time and energy, but that doesn't stop people from obsessing over the stuff, because that's the way our brains, that's how human beings have survived for, you know, millennia.
Fight or flight.
Fight or flight. In fact, so there are, so in fact, 10% of young adults schedule a dedicated worrying time in their daily routines. Only about 3% of those 45 and older intentionally make time for it.
What?
So kind of
purposely make time to worry.
Yeah.
That seems counterintuitive, but maybe it's not.
Yeah, why do they? Well, maybe they think worrying will be productive, or that dedicating time will be reduce it. 62% of Gen Zers and millennials say that they're constantly feeling anxious, compared to 38% of older folks. Here's the other thing, too. When we're worrying, it's not as if, okay, well, I'm going to take time to worry right now. When you're thinking about things, you're not thinking about maybe necessarily the actual, that you're actually worrying. You're probably just thinking about the topic. You don't think of worry as a thing. You think, you're thinking about the thing that is making you worry. I'm not wording this right. If I'm worried about the rent, I'm not thinking about, oh, I'm worrying. I'm thinking about the rent. There is no specificness to it or anything. Mm-hmm. So I kind of understand. It kind of makes sense. I don't think it's just a younger generation necessarily that is guilty of that.
No, and I think that there is such a wide array of things for, you know, this young generation that's coming up or coming into, you know, trying to buy a home and start a family. There's so many things for them to worry about right now that it's hard to not spend 2 hours a day worrying.
You
mentioned the rent. Okay, making sure that I have enough money to pay rent this month. What about putting food on the table? What about taking care of your where you live, you know, cleaning your home or mowing your lawn? All of those things that are day-to-day, but then you also have to maybe work 2 or 3 jobs to be able to afford the money to come in to.
Have you heard the saying, we may be small, but
just a lot?
Yeah. Yeah.
But hey, we have Wide Orbit back.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Wrapping up this list before we go to a much-needed commercial break, a ranking of the top things people are worrying about are technical difficulties. I'm joking. The top things we worry about are things like family, health, work, politics, getting enough sleep. Those are the sorts of things that can really keep us up and keep us, from being able to really, I think, enjoy ourselves. That is where it seems to be. So what we'll do real quick, we're going to take a real quick break here. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour of mornings here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Hope you all are having a great, great day out there. Thanks so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm. We started Monday with a marathon.
Yes, we did.
That's my exercise for the week, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, we got all of our talking in for the week. We're done. We're done. Appreciate y'all hanging out with us. And the comments, too. We got some good feedback from some people out there. So thank you, best listeners in radio. Mm-hmm. Melissa, are you a roller coaster person? Do you like roller coasters? Okay.
Sure. I don't know if I'd like them now, but when I had the opportunity to ride on them in my younger years, yes, I enjoyed them.
That's a really good... you got me. I don't know the last time I was on one, huh?
Yeah, it's been a while, and now I would worry about, like, am I going to hurt my neck? Am I going to hurt my back? Like...
Did you ever...
'Cause some of those roller coasters can be really rough.
It's not a roller coaster, I know, but did you ever be on, like, the Gravitron? That thing that
like at a fair?
Yeah. And you go in there and it just, you stick to the wall or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I did that when I was young. Now, any spinning thing now, I can't even hardly handle a swing, James.
That's it. That's where I was going. I think it
like wants to push me into vertigo.
This version of me, I don't think I'd ever get out of the Gravitron. I feel like that's where I would be from now on. That's just where I live.
Yeah, I
wouldn't
do
be able to do it.
Stuff. No,
the roller coasters
The Ferris wheel is about as spinny as I can get.
Roller coasters are fun, and I've never really been on a ride, like one of those big like Disney World type rides or Six Flags or anything like that. I've never really been on something like that, one of those gigantic ones. So I think I'd want to do it just to do it, just to try it.
Yeah, no, and it's fun. And I think the newer ones that are smoother, I would be more than happy to go on. But some of like the old wooden framed roller coasters, because I went to Valley Fair when I was like, I was a teen, I don't know, probably 16, 17, somewhere in there. And that one was rough.
Well, for some people, there's
fun.
It does sound a little mixed bag there. Some people, riding a roller coaster is nothing like it. They can't wait. They love it. There are clubs out there for it, and people that travel and go to ones and stuff.
It's an adrenaline rush for sure.
Yeah, and for some people, it's also dangerous because they end up eating cicadas or other bugs.
Oh,
yeah. Mm. There's an amusement park called Kings Island in southwestern Ohio, and they've been dealing with masses of cicadas, which have made their way to the surface for the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. The cicadas are everywhere outside, and the swarms are so dense that people are being warned to keep their mouths sealed shut while riding in roller coaster at Kings Island, or you might
don't
get
scream with your mouth open.
Yeah, now what condiment you need with that? What are you? People are posting videos of the cicadas at the park on TikTok, and others are proudly sharing ride photos of people in their group with their mouths firmly closed as instructed.
Oh, that's funny. You know, I might be willing to eat bugs. I don't think I want one flying in my mouth alive.
Yeah.
No thanks.
I it's an issue when you have to release a statement like that.
Yeah.
That's also.
Well, and when they're swarming, when cicadas are, you know, in their whatever, for those few weeks or short amount of time, there's a ton of them.
Yeah. Watching that documentary the Americas, I've heard of cicadas. I didn't see how in depth and how resilient and how incredible those insects are. I mean, they, you know, insects are insects. I know how people feel about them and everything, but just, wow, they're impressive.
Interesting life cycle for sure.
I'm also thinking about the PR team that's got to put this out. That's got to sit there and like, okay, how do I word this? How do I tell
extra protein on your roller coaster? Nope.
No, that doesn't work. No, that's not the way to do it. No. Hey, did you have lunch? Well, if nope, that's not. It does not seem like something that you really would. There's been for many years now. There's been a lot of people that took a lot of creative classes or creative arts or creative writing or something like that, and kind of find themselves in the advertising game. I also think that would be quite interesting, the overly creative ways of handling this or going about it.
Every park entry comes with a free bug hat.
Maybe that's what they should be doing, is leaning into it more. Maybe that's what it should be.
Put logos on the hats and charge extra for ones that come with nets.
You sent something over a little while ago, Melissa, that I wanted to make sure we made the time for throughout this next week. The Andrew Mueller Memorial Show and Benefit that is going to be happening this Saturday, June 22nd. This will be taking place at beautiful Golden Sands Speedway here in Rapids. A shout out to our friends at Golden Sands. It's an important and a meaningful and going to be a really fun event, Melissa.
Yeah, and this is in honor of Andrew Mueller, who died last November from an anaphylactic shock because first responders didn't have epinephrine on them when they first arrived. They got it there about 7 to 10 minutes later, but by then it was already too late. So Andrew's parents are holding this fundraiser in his memory to help equip first responders with epinephrine, and then they're also working to try to pass legislation that requires it, that all first responders carry it. So I know they're working closely with Representative Scott Krug and Senator Pat Testin, who are the authors of the bill, and then hoping to set up also a scholarship fund.
Yeah. You can go to their Facebook page to find out more, and we will talk more about this throughout the week here at WFHR.